You are listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Farah.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. In today's edition of Food Friday, we're learning about what Lori Skelton calls oasis foods. They're the foods you make as a break for yourself in the midst of the gluttony of the holidays. It's not so much comfort food as it is restorative food.
So, like, between a rich dinner at the in-laws and then eating too many of your Aunt Carol's Christmas cookies,
yep.
What foods do you make for yourself? What are your reset foods, the foods that give your body a break? You could call in now. Let us know if you've got something like that you turn to. Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page.
Lori Skelton is, of course, one of WPR's in-house foodies. She joins us once a month for Food Friday. Lori, welcome back.
Good to be here, especially with this topic.
All right, well, oasis foods. Let's start there. What exactly is an oasis food?
Well, of course, we started talking about this over Thanksgiving dinner. We basically came down to keep it simple. Things that have been suggested by various friends and coworkers over the last few weeks: pasta with chopped fresh tomato, lightly sautéed seafood, the wonderful hot and sour soups, or tom kha, or egg drop soup. Somebody on staff here likes warm grain cereal, oatmeal or cream of wheat, with a lot of fruit and flax seeds or chia seeds. Somebody else suggested sesame tofu, lots of veggies, and brown rice. Somebody else suggested Greek yogurt and honey. Somebody did suggest a souffle. And while I understand the concept of a light and elegant egg dish, I only call that oasis food if somebody else made it. It's just a little too much fussing in the kitchen. And of course, one thing that Andrea, our traffic director, suggested: before and after the party, lots and lots of water.
Oh.
And she suggests having a pitcher made up with sliced cucumber and some mint and lemon or lime in it to really make it tasty.
You know, what hammered the concept home for me was I thought about, you know, traveling and you're eating out all the time and lots of rich food and it's great. And then, man, I just couldn't eat another thing like that. So I need something simple. And one thing that popped into my head is kind of a relish tray. Like, I want something like rye bread with cheese on it, or breadsticks and pickled things, like real simple one or two ingredient types of things that you can just pick at and snack on, and it's not like a rich, dense blob of food.
Mm-hmm.
Does that fit the bill? Am I on the right track here?
I think so. Vegetables did come up a lot as we were talking about this. You do need some protein, though, and that's where your cheese comes in. Apples and cheese would always be a good option. Maybe a little bit of peanut butter if you don't feel like cheese. You do need a little bit of protein, but we tend to forget that sometimes because, well, my holiday indulgence, my Aunt Kathy's meatballs in cream sauce. Every year I tell myself, only one helping, Lori. And every year I have three.
Well, maybe if you started with something more realistic, Lori, if you said two helpings instead of cutting all the way back to one.
And then only have two.
And then only have
two. I'm not going to grab the serving plate and take it as my own. This would be modest.
I'd have to fight off half the Skelton family if I were going to do that. So at least my family saves me from complete excess. But it's hard.
Yeah, everyone has their trigger food.
Oh, heavens,
and then you
yes.
need these oasis foods to get you back on track. For me, it usually ends up being soup or something sort of like peasant food: bread, cheese, fruit, some sliced carrots, and lentil soup or something like that.
And that's a great way to start, but that for me goes into the comfort food category.
Yeah, it's
because
it's
a little heavier. I mean, so many of the great soups that you have during the winter are a little bit starchier. You know, my mom's amazing potato soup with bacon, for instance, or even butternut squash soup can sometimes get a little bit heavy. So what I was really focusing on for this afternoon was, what do you eat to just, you know, the comment reset button food, you know, get yourself completely off on a clean slate in terms of how you feel physically, you know, get ready for the next round of excess.
Well, as always, you did lots of homework and brought in food. Unfortunately, I was out and I missed it all, but you can recreate it for me. I hear there was Tori Nanban Udon. Did I nail that pronunciation there?
I think so. I'm not speaking Japanese. I think this came from several different friends suggesting a combination of Japanese udon noodles and a light but savory broth, and then poached chicken. And I ended up sort of creating my own recipe out of everybody else's suggestion. This was the first time that I used something called dashi, which is Japanese basically fish stock. I did a very simple version of it rather than making the one that has kelp and tuna and adding a few other things. I just had bonito flakes that were steeped in near boiling water for about 20 minutes.
Was that?
It ended up savory enough. Bonito is a type of fish.
Okay.
You can find it in a lot of Asian markets. It looks almost like a packet of instant soup that you know, like Lipton noodle. And
it comes sprinkled on top of sushi rolls a lot of the time.
Oh, okay.
It looks
yeah.
like little flaky things.
It looks like fish food.
It does.
But
yes,
it is food actually, made of fish, actually.
Very good.
There's the irony.
So I made it really easy on myself, but going that one extra step really made the broth amazing. You can do a vegetarian version if you soak dried shiitakes in water and then just use the broth. That's a really good substitute. I ended up putting mushrooms in the dashi and then adding ginger and garlic cloves and green onion, a little bit of star anise to perk it up, and then a little bit of sake and shredded chicken breast, a little bit of soy sauce, a little bit of honey. And we actually had one person say the broth was so good and so filling with the mushrooms that the chicken and the noodles were almost superfluous.
I agree. Mushrooms, I think, are amazing in almost anything. But I want to ask you about the star anise. Is that a Lori twist or is that traditional with Japanese food somehow?
This came up in enough recipes that I thought, yeah, you better include it. I normally think of this as something to cook with in sweet desserts. And the more time I spend with Asian recipes, the more I see it there. Not a lot. You don't want it to be an overpowering flavor, but that's something I'm going to be trying to use a little bit more next year, using that rather than cinnamon to punch up the savory, the spiciness, rather than have it be sweet.
Do you put it in like a bay leaf and then it sort of infuses, or do you
exactly.
have to...
Exactly. You can buy powdered star anise, and I'm sure that would work in a pinch, but this is just like what you said, just like you'd put in a bay leaf and then strain it out later, you put in a piece of star anise, let it infuse your broth, and then take it out.
Now, based on the outcome of this Tori Nanban udon that you made, and based on the feedback you got from our coworkers, would you do anything differently next time?
Here's what I did to my serving when I made it. I loved the flavor. The flavor was very rich. I thought the texture was light enough. But for me, restorative food does need a bit of heat. So I added a squirt of sriracha to mine, good old rooster sauce in the bottle with the green top. And I know we went back and forth throughout various things that I made as to whether or not you need heat in restorative foods. I personally need it. I think about Tabasco sauce in your Bloody Mary, hot sauce on your eggs. There's something about needing that zoom of front-of-the-mouth heat, right-in-the-nose heat, to clear out my body, definitely clear out my sinuses, and get ready for the next wonderful meal. So that's the one thing that I'm going to keep in my versions from now on. But it's a debate. It really does depend on your own personal chemistry.
Well, we're going to talk about another recipe that you brought in. It was spicy beans and wilted greens. This you brought in, I think, when, you know, a reset button was helpful and Oasis Food was helpful. It was during the WPR pledge drive and everyone flocked to it, you know, and gobbled it up. Tell us about that one.
This one surprised me. This was something that I saw earlier this year in Bon Appetit magazine. And I was skeptical because I've never made anything with wilted greens that didn't have a pork product using, you know, as the means of wilting things down, whether it's bacon or a ham hock in the broth. What was the saving grace for this is that you made your broth with Parmesan rinds. If you grate your own Parmesan cheese, you eventually come to that last quarter or half inch that's just too hard to grate. If you're smart, or if you know an Italian who's told you to do this, save your Parmesan rinds. Put them in a bag, put them in the freezer, and then use them to boost the flavor in stock. Now, this was just water and simple Great Northern beans, little bit of onion, little bit of celery, little bit of rosemary, garlic. But that Parmesan rind in the broth just made this amazing. This was an easy recipe because you didn't have to sauté any of the greens. I used kale, I used spinach, I used arugula. You just throw it in the pot in the last 5 to 8 minutes that you're cooking it. And then the thing that I loved about it is they suggested you hold back half your arugula and then serve that raw on top. So here again, you've got that little front of the nose heat from the greens. You've got an incredible amount of mid-mouth heat from the garlic. And then there were chili flakes in this as well. So you've got heat at the back of the throat. I was amazed at how tasty this was. So simple, so easy, and really, really inexpensive. Beans and greens, what you really don't need that much more. And it was stunning. We had people coming back for seconds.
Well, Popeye has the can of spinach as his restorative food. Did these wilted greens have a similar effect on you and our coworkers for the pledge drive?
I had a lot of people asking for, can we do something with more veggies when I showed up with the chicken and udon noodles? And this, I think, really did it. There was a lot of kale, and nobody complained about it. A lot of spinach, obviously. That's a good one. And arugula showed up a lot more in my recipes this year, and it definitely needs to be used a little more.
Well, we've got that recipe for wilted greens and spicy beans on the Central Time Facebook page. We are talking about Oasis Foods with our own Lori Skelton. These are the foods you make for yourself. We need a break. We need a pick-me-up. Say in the midst of eating too darn much over the holidays. Do you have something like this? A favorite Oasis food? What do you make for yourself when you need a break from all the rich stuff? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Central Time Facebook page. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. We're picking up our discussion now about Oasis Foods with Lori Skelton. She's a Food Friday regular. We're talking about these Oasis Foods. They're foods that you make for yourself when maybe you've been overindulging at the holidays and your body just needs a break.
Yeah, what do you crave when you've been eating a lot of heavy food, a lot of desserts? What's the simple thing that you need to pick yourself back up? Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You could post on the Central Time Facebook page and check out a recipe there for spicy beans with wilted greens that Lori Skelton provided for us.
And Lori, we're going to go to our first caller now. We've got Tasha on the line from Lake Mills. Hi, Tasha.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to comment about my go-to food, which isn't anything I have to make. It's just simply an apple. And what I find is that it's filling, first of all, and, you know, it's got some fiber. It's low in carbohydrates or fairly low. And oftentimes it makes a difference when I step on the scale, it seems. So that's going to be my go-to food of choice when I'm feeling overwhelmed with the holiday foods.
Okay, thanks a lot, Tasha. I'm the same way. I think apples, you know, I've heard of them called the broom of the system before. They help out. They keep you feeling good.
And my secret, okay, I cut it up and seed it and stuff, so I eat apple pieces. For some reason, that's even more restorative for me than just actually biting into a whole apple. I don't know why.
There is something about that. I agree.
Apple chunks.
The one thing that I notice if I follow up a night of excess with just fruits and vegetables, if I don't have some protein in there, I get so hungry by the end of the day that I tend to go overboard. There's something, I have to sit down and actually figure out the chemistry, but there's something about having protein mixed in with your fruits or your veggies that does tend to cut down, at least for me, on overindulging again later.
So then you can have your apple and peanut butter, your apple and cheese.
Apple and cheese.
Your apple and meatballs and cream sauce. Yeah. And you've got it all.
Aunt Kathy, where are you? I have to wait until Wednesday? No.
Tasha, thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. We've got Harold on the line now in Superior. Harold, hi.
Well, hello. I just kind of recently come up with this one. I've done it before in the past, but I've refined it a bit. I like to make a good salad, and that always takes me at least an hour. Everything I can find, I put in the salad. And couple, and I make enough for several meals. Well, a couple days go by, and it gets a little wilted, and gee, I don't want it to spoil, so I convert it to soup, and I may or may not take out the tomatoes out of it if I got raw carrots that I want to cook a little bit. And what I do then is I add it to, like, a canned soup. One of my favorite is the Progresso line of soups, vegetable classics, garden vegetable or savory vegetable barley. And then I'll also add anything fresh that I might have still laying around, and sometimes even frozen if I need. So it's just kind of a, I can't think of the word I'm looking for, but it turns out very, very good. And it's easy because you've already made so much of it by making the salad.
All right. Well, Harold, thank you. So a soup that gets retrofitted as a salad that gets retrofitted as a soup.
Although I'm intrigued by the idea of vegetables wilting, mm-hmm. because, of course, isn't that the basis for kimchi?
Ah.
You know, you've got vegetables that have fermented a little bit. I know there are some people that love wilting greens in a salad with a hot bacon dressing. So wilted vegetables, not a bad idea. I think you can do a lot with that.
Speaking of which, what would you think about bibimbap? I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right, for an Oasis food.
Again, a great idea. That's something that I actually go out for. I've yet to get this.
It's true. It might be hard to make it yourself.
It's a wonderful thing, bibimbap. And I think that's how you pronounce it. But it does require some fiddling.
So these are these Korean bowls with crunchy rice often on the bottom, greens,
right.
mm-hmm. an egg, some meat, and
right.
some heat.
I've seen recipes. Unfortunately, I've yet to see a recipe for just one. You have to have all of this stuff ready. And I've seen crisp the rice in the bottom of your cast iron skillet. Well, my cast iron skillet is 12 inches across. That's just a little bit too much for restorative food.
Right. Well, let's go back to the phones. Wyatt is joining us next in Viroqua. Hi, Wyatt.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Good, thanks.
Hey, so here are three things that I make frequently. So one is a very simple silken tofu that I cut up in about 1-inch squares, and it's stacked like a Lego block. And I drizzle it with soy sauce, just a tiny, tiny bit, thinly sliced scallions and bonito. It's fabulous.
I'm half
Japanese. And my mom used to make it for me all the time, and it's really refreshing and really super good for you.
That would be.
And the second one that I frequently make is it's a brown rice with black quinoa. Cook it a little bit of salt in it, and then once it's cooled down, I drizzle it with sesame seed oil. Put some toasted almonds or pecans in it with some tofu and scallions, and that's to die for. My kids, family just absolutely love it.
Anything with toasted sesame oil, that would be amazing.
Yeah, both of those sound fantastic. And I noticed that with this call and your recipes too, Lori, we're veering a little toward Asian food.
Yeah.
What is it about Asian food?
Well, it's not based on what we have in the Midwest, heavy root vegetable. You know, all the things that we have to get us through our heavy-duty winters, you know, where we if we're not actually hibernating, we do tend to pad our bodies with a little extra carbohydrates and fat. If you don't have that as your weather outside, you've got other flavors to play with, and I think our palates should be looking towards those just for a way to change things up.
Time for a quick call from Heather in Sparta. Heather, what have you got for us?
Hi. This fall, I was asked to eliminate foods, and then later I could start bringing them back in, so I was really restricted to see if I was allergic. And so I was trying to eat a lot of vegetables in an easy way, and I found out you could fry cucumbers.
Huh.
I really like them stir-fried. Like you could take some zucchini pieces and put in there if you wanted, but with the cashews and just make like your stir-fry if you want, you could add little chicken pieces. I really love that.
Fried cucumbers. What oil or butter are you using to fry a cucumber?
Well, you could use other things, but at that time I was using coconut oil.
Okay.
I think I had a...
All right, fried cucumbers. I have never thought of cooking cucumbers. Is that something that you encounter, Lori?
I've encountered it, but it's not something I tend to do in my own kitchen. Although I got to admit, coconut oil would make sense. I have to give that a shot.
Well, it sounds delicious. So many things to try here. And I think we're all going to have ample opportunity to be putting this into practice very, very soon. Yeah. Lori, thank you so much for joining us.
Absolutely.
That was Lori Skelton, one of WPR's in-house foodies and a Food Friday regular. You can find a link to that recipe for spicy beans with wilted greens on the Central Time Facebook page.
I'm Veronica Bickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. This is Central Time on the Ideas Network.